Good morning. New Testament reading today is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, and can be found on page 204 in your pew Bibles. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up things in him, things in heaven, and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel, and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Is it hot yet? Are you doing okay? We'll try to keep this short. This week we continue with another letter from the Apostle Paul, though there's some differing opinions on whether the letter to Ephesians was really written by Paul himself, or maybe the school of Paul, or what I'm calling the University of Paul. Maybe a scribe writing on Paul's behalf or scribing for Paul while he's in prison. It's the early 60s, and Paul's gallivanting and fervent down with religion, up with Jesus ways have landed him in prison. The religious leaders are opposed to him. They're trying to kill him. He's being blasphemous towards God. Paul will not shut up. He's not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power unto salvation for those who will believe. He counts it all joy to be captive for the sake of his Savior, and his joy overflows, and he's writing to the churches that he loves. And so Ephesus is one of those churches. It's probably not a church that he spent a lot of time with, not a church that he planted, but a church that he knows of, a church that loves him, a church that's praying for him. And so he sends this more general summarizing letter that he hopes might go to the church in Ephesus, but also perhaps go to the churches even in the region. So to help us read the letters of the Bible better, I just want us to think, when was the last time you had a letter that blessed you and then moved you to be a blessing? When was the last time you had a letter that blessed you and then moved you to be a blessing? Can anyone think of a letter that did that in your life? Or maybe in our electronic world, it's an email that blessed you and moved you to be a blessing. Try to get in that mindset. Not one of those forward this to 10 people and you'll have a lucky day thing. Not one of those Lucky Charm emails or letters, but a real letter that someone wrote something substantial and warm and encouraging, but maybe also poked you and pushed you to have a so what to it. Anyone have a letter that comes to mind? And would you quickly verbalize that and give us a few examples to help us? When you were a student, your dear mother, quite a few years ago, you think of the strength and the encouragement that you got from her letters. Great example, thank you. One more example, a letter that blessed you.
When I went to Houston, I met a wonderful lady, she's in her 80s, and she sent me a lovely letter, she's made me her friend, wrote to me a wonderful letter. Can't even tell you, it was so touching, because when I went to her home to visit her, I prayed for her, and so she wrote me a lovely letter. And then she wrote me in March again when my husband fell ill, and she wrote me another lovely letter. So
a woman in her 80s wrote you this letter of encouragement and then wrote again when she heard of some family illness.
Yes.
Great, good. So that's the mindset we want to get into when we read Paul's letters. This isn't Paul wagging his finger at us, mad, saying, try harder, though he does poke and prod to buck up. But he does it from this heart of love and encouragement. So I'd encourage you, if you're doing some summer reading, maybe take one of the letters and read it like a love letter. Read it like a letter that's encouraging you and blessing you, but then also poking and prodding you to actually do something as well. So Paul starts off this letter and he starts to gush. It's reminiscent of the glorious beginnings of the Gospel of John, or maybe the glorious beginnings even of the creation letters of Genesis. Maybe it echoes the Beatitudes. Paul gets cosmic and wild and wonderful. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He destined us for adoption as his children. He freely bestowed upon us grace in the Beloved. We have forgiveness. His grace is lavished upon us. I know it's hot, but try to let some of those phrases or words sink in to your bones. Lavished. Every spiritual blessing. Chosen before the creation of the world. Forgiveness. Grace. Blessed. Beloved. Lavished. And maybe one of those words or one of those phrases might meet you right where you're at this morning. This is Paul either writing poetry or painting a picture and trying to encourage us to reconnect or be remade by this living word. And so no matter where you've come from this week, whether it's a peak or a plateau or a pit, God's word wants to livingly move and be amongst you, reminding you that you're created and cared with compassion. You're fearfully, wonderfully made. You're blessed. So bask in the blessings of being a child of God today. But Paul doesn't want that bevy of blessings to just be clenched-fisted by all of us. He's seen and known what religious secrets and insiderism does to faith. And so in the further details of this text, even today, he prompts the hearers to get the message out. This isn't just good news for us, it's good news for the universe, for the world. He writes, "With all wisdom and insight, God has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. A plan for the fullness of time. Paul's writing and saying to this church, and he's writing and saying to us, if you're feeling oppressed or persecuted or downcast, the good news is that you, as the body of Christ, can't be hidden. You beam with blessings from the cosmos. There's a plan, not just for you, but for all things, everything around us being gathered up in Christ. And so you imagine what these words might have been for this early church that was wrestling against the empire of the age. Perhaps these Christians were being persecuted for their faith. Perhaps being thrown to the lions, or maybe being jailed or burnt at the stake. And 2,000 years later, we don't necessarily, as North American Canadian Christians, hit that same persecution. But we also struggle against the empire and evils of the age. We might not be thrown to the lions, but life roars and ravages against us. We might not be burnt at the stake, but we find ourselves burnt up or burnt out. So I want to think of the news bits that you've heard this week. Are they news bits that make you think the world is heading to a better place? Or do you think when you reflect on or read media, you wonder, are we going to hell in a handbasket? Informal vote. Better place? We're working so hard to make things better, and isn't it great? Or going to hell in a handbasket? Okay. Well, let's try and take in this letter a bit. God's promise for both believers and unbelievers, the whole world, is that there's a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and earth. So try to wrestle with that. Yes, life around us looks bleak sometimes. Life feels bleak sometimes. And yet somehow, in God's plan, in what Paul's writing about here, in the midst of all these cosmic and spiritual, out-of-this-world blessings, there's also these concrete works that Jesus and God are doing in the world. So Paul pens these words. He invites us to action. Because Paul always has this plan of action plan. And it's not to join God to just say nice little prayers or to put simple Band-Aid Bible verses on problems. It's this invitation to join God in God's restoring work in the world. In verse 12, Paul writes, so that we, this community of faith, we, the people of God, who set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. Verse 14, God's own people, living to the praise of his glory. That verse echoed the heart of Jesus, too, where Jesus says, let your light shine before others, so that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. I invite you to pull out the one tab in your bulletin today, the green one that says, for we are what God has made us. I want you to use this just to help you with that journey outward piece of today's letter from Ephesians. Yes, we're blessed. Yes, we're lavished upon. Yes, we're forgiven. Yes, we're held in the beloved. But God also invites us to journey outward and do a work. Have you ever heard that phrase, what a piece of work he is? Or have you ever used that phrase? What a piece of work she is. I want us to try to redeem that phrase a bit with Ephesians 2:10. I called it the U of P quotes 210, just in case you didn't think it was really Paul who wrote it. Maybe it was the University of Paul. For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The NIV puts it like this: for we are God's workmanship. We're God's piece of work, created, destined for good things, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. One preacher, Edwin Searcy, that I was reading this week, when he reflects on this letter, says, imagine the shape of a congregation that's marked by its consistent focus on what God is doing in its midst and what God is doing in the midst of troubled earth. Imagine the shape of a congregation that consistently focuses on what God is doing or what God is doing in the midst of a troubled earth. And then he says, that's the kind of congregation that shifts from being blessed to being a blessing. And so just in 20 or 30 seconds as we close our time in this letter today, I want you to hold this verse in front of you and think, okay, I'm a piece of work in the best sense of the word. God has prepared beforehand this way for me to follow in this day and this week. And what might it be like for me to move from just being blessed to being a blessing in this day, in this week, in this season where we are the church here at Jasper Avenue and 109th Street in 2015. I'll give you 20 or 30 seconds to think on that, and then we're going to close with this prayer of hope, the yellow insert that's found in your bulletin. So I invite you to reflect on God calling you to be this great piece of work and what that might be for you as you be a blessing in the world this week. 20 or 30 seconds, and then we'll pray together. If you are able, I invite you to stand as we pray. Why don't you wave your bulletin at a friend near you? Create a little draft. Living God, lead us by your Spirit deeper into life. Help us love you, ourselves, our family, and neighbors. All people, including our enemies and this beautiful earth, being filled more and more with the love that is who you are. Help us not surrender to the temptations that could easily harm us and others. Instead, help us face our challenges and come through them stronger than ever in the days ahead. Help us set wise goals, solve solvable problems, and engage wisely with predicaments that cannot be solved. Help us learn with curiosity and live reverently with mystery. Help us work wholeheartedly and contribute in our own ways to the common good. Grant that a year from now, we will be more of all that is good and true to who we can be, and less of all that diminishes the potential of our lives. In the name of Christ, in the power of the Spirit, and to your glory, living God, we pray. Amen. Please be seated.